Now, we've talked about this being applicable to an amazing cross-section of society in the long run. Can you give an example of what the first application or applications might be?
What are the big markets for biological technologies? Let's turn this around. Food, agriculture is important. Then there is fuel, and those are two big drivers. Security and defense are another big driver. Consumer technologies is another big driver. Health and medicine are already hugely powerful drivers. You're going to see applications in that space. And in fact, you have examples of people going into animal models and trials with engineered genetic circuits. You also see chemical production in the context of fuels or therapeutics, companies who are trying to deploy synthetic biology techniques in service of delivering liquid fuels and therapeutics that are produced within engineered cells. So that's happening today.
My sense of it is you want to simplify the process, you want to get it distributed, you want to help understand the process, and you want to get it applied to things like manufacturing. Can you talk about how this approach enables that?
So the field of metabolic engineering, for example, which is now quite old, to my knowledge, has never produced a publicly accessible collection of enzymes that somebody could get off the shelf and put together. So, How do these people get away with calling themselves engineers? An engineer has two responsibilities, right? Their first responsibility is to actually deliver the thing that works. But their second responsibility as an engineer is to look at the process by which their work is being done and thus find opportunities for improving the tools. Because if engineers didn't do that, we'd still be flying around in Wright Brother flyers, whereas instead we've got CAD software that can put out a 777. Metabolic engineering is just one example, right? It's still artisanal cottage work, even if you're doing it at a very rich company.
So you just see very reasonably that there can be an explosion in applications once you've got this into a wider set of hands.
Let me give you an example. I had a team of undergraduates in the summer of 2006. Three of them were first-year undergraduates and two of them were sophomores. They haven't taken genetics or a laboratory course. And in the period of one summer, they were able to add six enzymes, E. coli, knock out production of a native chemical, and integrate the reading out of these enzymes with a control system that depended on whether or not the cell itself was growing. As a result, they made a cell which they called O. de coli that doesn't smell like crap and instead smells like wintergreen while it's growing and bananas while it's resting. Now, this is a feat of metabolic engineering. It's sort of rapid prototyping. The yields of the chemicals weren't very high, but they were high enough to smell. And here's what teenagers can do in a summer. To put this in comparison with the field of metabolic engineering, state of the art. And it's also a toy project, which means that we should expect, if synthetic biology is actually successful, in a couple years, that project is done by one person in under half an hour on a laptop that queries up all of the parts you need from an online database, compiles the genetic functions needed into a sequence of DNA that gets shipped off to a DNA synthesis company, and the raw DNA gets automatically transformed into a cell. You get the cells back, and it works. So that the real metabolic engineers are off making 1,000 component systems. The cutting-edge laboratories are just doing work that's vastly more sophisticated. There's a great project, and I don't mean this as a criticism of the project. I really mean it as illustrative. There's a great project to try and make artemisinic acid in bacteria. This is Jay Kiesling's project at Berkeley. It's a metabolic engineering project. He had to raise $42 million from the Gates Foundation to make one chemical. How do we get to a world where that is an undergraduate homework problem? How do we make metabolic engineering that easy? And then what does that let the companies do or the experts?
So I think we've come pretty much to the end of my questions for this interview. I wanted to ask if you have any kind of final thoughts summing up what we've talked about here.
We have a lot of work to do. There's a tremendous opportunity to develop tools that make the engineering of biology much easier and much more powerful. Biotechnology has always been such a compelling application space. The projects that people work on are just so unbelievably important. We're going to make drugs to reduce the cost of fighting malaria, right? Or we're going to try and help people who are stricken with cancer, or we're going to make insulin. Because the applications are so morally compelling, you know, if not profitable, it's been very hard, I think, for people to decouple from working on specific projects and ask, how do we come a lot better at this? And I think as a result of the sort of unbelievable pressure to deliver solutions in biotechnology, there's been underinvestment, both financially and conceptually, in thinking through how we become better at the whole field so that all of biotechnology comes true someday. And that's where I would expect the San Francisco area specifically, if it wants to continue to lead in biotechnology, whether synthetic biology is the right thing or not, it has to be working through those opportunities. Yeah, let's take biotechnology to the next level.